primarily using digital media. And that's everything from smartphones to video cameras to creating podcasts, video casts, to using social networks, things that are available to teens already, and that especially the phones and the social networks, we're using them as a learning tool as opposed to just a social tool.
This is really the way to reach out to people these days, isn't it?
Well, they're already, you know, proficient at it. They already know how to use it. So there is a comfort level that's there, and there's a way that they interact with information that that is different than they're used to doing in the classroom. And people are finding, especially the research that's done through the MacArthur Foundation, are finding that this is a learning tool that needs to be explored by so we're starting to do that actually with MacArthur funding.
So walk us through how this actually works. What is it? How does it? Is it on my iPhone? What is it?
Well, for instance, we're thinking of this as the 21st century classroom, but the word classroom isn't even really working because part of what we're doing with what we're doing is mobile learning. So they're using, for instance, a smartphone, and the smartphone, the ones that we've been using are from Nokia. And what the smartphone does is that the way that we used it in summer was that they use text messaging to create a scavenger hunt. So you text message answers in to questions, and it leads you from one point in the museum to another.
Wow.
And then also there are points where you can interpret the work, as well as look at video casts where there's information about the work that the teens create. So I think the most important part here is that this isn't something that the museum has created for teens, but that teens are taking workshops to create for the museum to use with other teens.
Hmm.
So one of the big things here is that we're taking the idea of passive consumption that I think teens are used to in terms of how they're taught to more creative problem solving and creating products. And I think that this is really working really well.
And the amazing part of it is that I think these young people, they're used to being able to access information where they want it, when they want it, you know, every place. It's ubiquitous. And this gives them right there. You're looking at it as something and you can get more information about it.
And you hear it in the voice. So if you're a teen in a museum, you hear it in your peer's voice. So you're hearing it from someone who's your same age and hearing their perspective on it, which is something that museums, I think have been trying to do for years, which is kind of break down the sense that the information is not available or that not everyone's voices are being heard in it. And we're trying to kind of open that up. And the way we're opening it up is by having these audiences make these products for other audiences.
How difficult was this to do?
Well, we're still doing it. We're still in our pilot phase, but as of spring, we'll be completely opening it up. So, for instance, how we're doing it now is we have what's called City of Ruins, which is an art lab plus video workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And City of Ruins is based on some works that are in our direction show by contemporary artists that are using video. And it's exploring the idea of what a modern ruin is. So we take that same thesis that the artist is developing in the exhibition, and we then present it to our teen designers to solve. And we say, well, how do we find ruins in Washington, D.C., and how do we make films about those ruins? So as designers, they have to kind of attack it as a problem to solve, and we give them the tools. We help them develop the skills to do it, and then we show the work in an exhibition in the museum. And it goes alongside some of the thematic ideas that were presented in by the artists in an exhibition, but it's also their own voice and their own take that's local, that's based in D.C.
Hmm.
And the way that, you know, we have what we call an artist expert. We'll come in and talk to them about their work. I mean, so there's a studio aspect of it, which is that they have the tools to kind of see their own vision. But we also, as a museum, want to present the artist's voice, not just as inspiration, but also for them to hear from artists in terms of going through how the artists go through their own process so that they can learn from that as well.
Did this require some change as educators, as people were trying to get people to think about art in this case? Did it require you to think about how you reach out to folks in a different way?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different style than I think a lot of the role of the teacher is usually one of expert or authority. And what happens with this kind of learning is that it's part of it is that you're wanting the students to collaborate with each other and learn from each other, because that's also what they're invested in at that age when they're teens. But also, and it's knowing the digital technology to be able, I mean, they're always going to know it better than you, but it's being able to use it and to work that into your curriculum. But also your role as kind of an authority symbol has changed. You're more of a facilitator. And the expertise comes only to help them explore and solve the problems that you set out for them.
Yeah, it's almost giving up a degree of control and sort of saying, okay, we're partners in this learning expedition rather than I'm going to tell you what's important.
Exactly. And I think that's a really good thing. Now, it's not a loosey-goosey kind of, there was kind of a time, I think, in education where they were really loosening things up, but there was not as much of a structure, but just kind of like, do whatever you want. It's not that. There is structure.
Yeah.
But the structure is more based on problem solving and creating projects and also working with the students or creating the trust with the students or the teens as partners who will come up with their own projects as well. So, for instance, if you have a curriculum that you need to, if you've got to talk about ancient Roman history, well, then what you have to do is they have the tools to research as well as you do. So they put together their research as well, and that you might divide up the research tasks among students to go and find different ways to talk about ancient Roman history. They might, as a group, that you all might break it down into different topics, and then they could research that. Now, that's harder to do in classrooms because there's a lot of rules and regulations about computer use in classrooms and or access to the internet. So one of the things that we're able to do is we're able to create a safe place for them to use this technology to problem solve things for the museum.
And it also seems, well, walk us through the timetable on this. When does it, you're in the pilot stage right now, walk us through when folks can actually see it, use it.
Well, in terms of seeing and using it in the galleries, at the end, on December 18th, we'll be having an opening of the first video works that have been created in the workshop, City of Ruins. We'll be offering City of Ruins this spring as well. The people in that workshop will be able to see what the last teens did and be able to also kind of react to that. So also, they build off of each other's projects when we repeat. So that's the first thing that the public will be able to see. It will be in the Learner Room, which is on the third floor of the Hirschhorn Museum. It will be open for a month through January, and pretty much it's just kind of a display of the video works they've done and a little description of what they've done.